Cascade County Deputy Sheriff Joe Dunn's funeral was held today as the man who's accused of running him down makes his initial court appearance. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Christopher Allen.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. 14 State Highway Patrol troopers are graduating tomorrow, and firefighters are wrapping up operations on the remains of the 1,000-acre CPAY fire.
Cascade County prosecutors say the 40-year-old Great Falls man accused of killing Deputy Dunn was on a, quote, drug-fueled rampage, end quote, while being pursued by law enforcement officers. They say he deliberately swerved his vehicle to strike and kill Dunn, who was standing outside of his patrol car. Dunn, who was 33, died after being taken to a hospital. A funeral service held today was attended by hundreds of people, including law enforcement officials from across the state. Adam Sanchez Jr. made an initial appearance on a deliberate homicide charge today in justice court in Shodo County. Sanchez has been held on a $2 million bond for violating the terms of his release in another case. County Attorney John Parker asked for an additional $3 million bond on the homicide charge. Sanchez is charged with killing Dunn on August 14th. Public defender Matt McKittrick asked that Sanchez's bail remain at $2 million. Sanchez is jailed in Fort Benton because the Cascade County Jail is run by the Sheriff's Office.
In other news from around the state, the Montana Highway Patrol will graduate 14 new troopers in Helena tomorrow after nearly 5 months of training. Each graduate will select a person to pin an untarnished seven-pointed badge to them during the ceremony. MHP officials say they're not currently experiencing a shortage of troopers across the state, but Law Enforcement Academy Supervisor Philip Freed says there's definitely an immediate need for new troopers. After graduating, the student officers will immediately start 9 weeks of training in the field with experienced officers.
We're not fully staffed this time. We're getting very close to that with this class graduating. With that being said, they're going to go as far east as Glendive, Broadus, and as far west as Kalispell, and everywhere in between. Nobody's going to be sitting at home waiting for a phone call.
Freed says officer safety is the top priority during training, and the recent death of Cascade County Deputy Joe Dunn and the ongoing investigation only highlights that need.
That aspect of the job is talked about constantly from day one. Those types of tragedies, like Deputy Dunn experienced, are a part of reality. I don't want to sit here and say that it's part of the job, because we don't expect, or we would hope to think, that the general public means no harm towards law enforcement. However, these situations do occur. We do mentally prepare them as best we can, but we try and physically prepare them through training on how to keep themselves safe, how to keep the people they're dealing with safe. And unfortunately, it's like anything else, things go wrong sometimes. But we do the best we can to mentally prepare our troopers to be able to handle stressful situations in a professional manner and to continue to charge through it and to never give up.
Governor Steve Bullock is scheduled to provide the graduation address on Friday at the Great Northern Hotel at 10 a.m.
Two people were arrested after someone reported seeing a pipe bomb in the garage of a Missoula residence. Missoula Police Detective Sergeant Scott Pastian says the Missoula Bomb Squad evacuated several nearby homes and deactivated the bomb Tuesday afternoon. No other bombs were found on the property. Missoula County Jail records indicate 27-year-old Andrew Charles Ibe faces charges of burglary and possession of explosives, while 40-year-old Shelley Marie Turbitt was taken into custody on a suspected probation violation. Pastian says officers have also questioned a potential witness.
After evacuating the Log Gulch campground yesterday afternoon due to a fire in the area, the Bureau of Land Management closed the recreation site until further notice. Assistant Field Manager for the BLM's Butte Field Office, Corey Meyer, said all campers were able to leave the area safely soon after the fire was reported early yesterday afternoon. At last report, that fire was over 200 acres. Helicopters and a slurry bomber were working the fire yesterday. Both Log Gulch and Departure Point recreation sites and boat docks will remain closed until further notice. The two campgrounds located on Holter Lake have a total of 76 sites.
As firefighters scrambled to tackle that new fire in Lewis and Clark County, fire crews working the 1,060-acre CPAY west of Dixon are now starting to demobilize. That lightning-caused fire was first reported on August 13th. It's been fought by over 200 people and is under the jurisdiction of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Public Information Officer Bob McGregor says the original plan was to have Incident Commander Diane Hutton's Type 2 fire management team turn the effort over to a tribal Type 3 team.
But as they looked at the weather forecast, and for the next 7 days, we're looking at rain almost every day in cloudy and cool conditions, high relative humidity, they decided instead of hanging on to a lot of equipment that the team had, they were going to demobit. So they made the plan to pull all the equipment down to staging, and then today we're demobing helicopters and heavy equipment and crews as fast as we can get them out of here.
McGregor says fire analysts think the incoming cold front could be something much more than a temporary reprieve.
Our long-term analyst actually looked at it and said this may be a season-ending event for the fire season here in western Montana. There's just a lot of rain, and they use a measure called the energy release component, or the ERC, that judges how dry the fuels are and what fuel types we have here. And they've looked at that. That component was really knocked down last week by the rains. And it just started to build up again as the fuels dried out during this dry weather last week. And now with all this rain coming, it's going to knock it way back down again. And by the time it builds up again, it's going to be late into September. And we think this fire season may be over by then.
McGregor says tactical crews will be on the lookout for any potential lightning starts that may be slowly smoldering in the duff. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes are lifting the Stage 1 fire restrictions first thing Saturday morning. Despite all the optimistic fire news, officials ask everyone to be extremely cautious about fire or any potential fire ignition sources. They say conditions can quickly dry out, raising the fire danger.
More rain showers and thunderstorms are called for across our listening area tonight and into tomorrow. The evening's lows are expected to range from the mid-40s to lower 50s. Tomorrow's highs will be in the 60s. And now for the editorial comments of Nicole Rolfe.
Hello, my name is Nicole Rolfe. I'm the National Affairs Director for the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, and today I want to talk to you about an issue that is of serious concern to our farmer and rancher members here in Montana, as well as to farmers and ranchers across the state. The Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, published a new rule with regard to waters of the United States in April of this year. The comment period is open on this rule until October of this year. It essentially redefines what are, quote-unquote, waters of the United States. Now, this is important because when Congress passed the Clean Water Act in 1972 with the goal of improving water quality in the United States, the law was designed to establish a system of cooperative federalism and to specifically preserve the primary state authority over land and water uses. In other words, the feds were to control and have jurisdiction over waters of the United States, which are also usually referred to as navigable waters. And this is defined in statute and also has been clarified in the courts. States and local governments were to keep jurisdiction over smaller, more remote waters and regulate them as they see fit. Now, unfortunately, the EPA has continually tried to expand their jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act through legislation and through other rulemaking attempts, and those efforts have failed. But this rule that they are currently proposing also would do the same thing, essentially. Now, what exactly does the proposed rule do? It changes the definition of what can be considered waters of the United States and under federal control. The new definition includes navigable waters, interstate waters like rivers that run in between through multiple states, large tidal waters like lakes and territorial seas. Now, these are all included in current regulations and under the Clean Water Act, and there's nothing controversial about that. Where things start to get a little problematic is where under this proposed rule they include tributaries or any feature that has a bed, bank, and regular high water mark contributing to any traditional navigable stream in any amount. Now, that means no matter how much or how little that bed, bank, and high water mark usually contribute, no matter whether it's directly through other streams or directly to that water body. Ditches are also included in the new rules, and it's important to note that most ditches are explicitly excluded from current definitions. Under the rule, they would only exempt certain ditches that have two very narrow exemption qualifications. The rule also classifies adjacent waters and other waters as waters of the United States. And this is where the proverbial water really gets muddy, because there are a lot of broad, undefined terms used in these. For example, it could regulate ephemeral streams and only run periodically, such as during heavy rain or snow melts, something like that, and can also regulate floodplains, but it doesn't explain exactly what a floodplain is. Is it a 2-year floodplain? Is it a 100-year floodplain? No one really knows. So as you can see, this is a really large expansion of EPA authority, and the reason it's a problem for farmers and ranchers is that even though they have absolutely no intention of causing any harm to these newly regulated areas, they will potentially have to get permits before they're able to carry out many normal farming and ranching practices, or they could face serious fines. And this essentially gives EPA veto power over land use and threatens our food system. Ag exemptions that are provided for in this rule are things that have to be because they're already included in statute. The changes under this rule, now they come with strings attached, and many normal practices are not exempted under this rule. And because it's also written so broadly, it could open the floodgates for lawsuits, unfortunately. And just in closing, you know, we all want clean water, especially farmers and ranchers, because it's such a vital part of how we make our living. But this expansion of EPA authority is not needed, and it's overreaching. The water users, landowners, farmers and ranchers, and the agencies here in Montana are doing a good job of keeping Montana's water clean, and so we're asking the EPA to ditch this rule and not let it become permanent. Thank you.
Nicole Rolfe is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. I'm Christopher Allen.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. Thanks for listening.